Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. It's Thursday, August 3rd, 2023. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and we're joining together for our world peace meditation. Sometimes we call it our satsang, our gathering of truth seekers and people on the path of helping to create, as best we can, a field of freedom and compassion for all living beings on this earth. So it's great to be with you all, and thanks again for joining us. So I think I'll go ahead and get started pretty soon. People are just joining us, but I can let people come in. So we have really a lot happening on the planet lately, as you probably are aware, the last month. And I think behind all the challenges, there's opportunities. And so this, as some of you who haven't been here before, we have our first Thursday of the month focuses really on the underlying truth of the interconnectedness of all life, and remembering that essentially the solutions to the problems that we're facing here on this earth are not merely in technological or political or economic efforts. They're really ultimately spiritual, or perhaps you could say psycho-spiritual, something with our mind and our relationships and our consciousness and our awareness and our capacity to question the official narratives and to connect with our inner guidance system, with that inner intuitive wisdom that helps us to unfold our own unique expression of life during this particular incarnation. So the challenges that sometimes seem daunting, the stress and the emotional difficulties and financial difficulties or career difficulties or spiritual, psychological difficulties, I think it's so helpful to come together like this and remember that there are larger forces at work, and ultimately it's all for our awakening, for understanding our true nature more fully and more deeply. And of course, in the background, and really in many ways in the foreground of our consciousness, are the animals, the beings who are so seriously, severely abused without even being aware, I think, for the most part, on this earth. And what we can do to help to bring healing to our relationship with animals and with each other, and how that's connected. So that's what the World Peace Diet is about. That's really what I think veganism and ahimsa are about. Ahimsa is the ancient Sanskrit word that means non-harmfulness. And the whole idea is to evolve beyond the mentality of seeing others as objects that we can use in some way to benefit us. I've been writing about that lately. It's very interesting. And the new book that's coming up soon, called Food for Freedom. I'll be talking to the publisher tomorrow about some of that, how we're going to be going forward with this whole thing. But the underlying idea is kind of the paradoxical humor, really, in this basic idea that if we really want to be very selfish and have a joyful, abundant, free, and loving life, ultimately the only way that's going to happen is if we are kind and loving and caring in our relationships with others. And if we want to be really miserable and unhappy and suffer a lot, then the way to do that is to abuse others for our own benefit, or manipulate them or deceive them. Because ultimately, in the big picture, we live in a reciprocal universe. Everything is reciprocity rules. And so when we understand that, it's kind of funny. I think we have a horizon that we don't see beyond one little lifetime. You don't see the bigger picture. And we think, but, you know, these guys, they get away with it. You know, they do all these things and they're rich and so forth. Or I'm really good, but I'm suffering, all these things happening. We have to look at the bigger picture and remember, whatever seeds we plant, we will definitely be getting exactly that, probably multiplied. If we plant carrots, we don't get onions and broccoli. We do get carrots. So this teaching is really not followed in our society too much, but it's the basic one. And it's so funny. I remember my good friend, his name was Krishna. He went to India and he met a holy man, and the holy man was just in bliss all the time. And he said, I've just been selfish. All I try to do is make other people happy, and I get so happy. I'm very selfish that way. All right. So anyway, that's the point, is sometimes we usually get it backwards, and we think if we can somehow get what we want, then we'll be happy. All right. So let's go ahead and join together in our meditation time. I'm so happy we have these about 6 or 7 months where we're in Northern California at our home, and we have the piano right here. So to fix this here. Great. So we're going to join for our meditation to start things off, and then afterwards we'll have a discussion, focusing on our time of connecting together. So here we begin. Let's now join together in the spirit. Spirit of gratitude, abiding in our true home. Gratitude. With every exhalation, we allow ourselves to let go of any tension, any stress, or any thoughts of the past or the future, allowing ourselves to enter this moment, this holy moment. This moment where the light of our true nature is always shining. We just allow ourselves to feel the awareness of the truth that the one light always shining in our heart, in our mind, in our awareness. It's always present, bringing into our consciousness the feeling and the awareness of gratitude. The tremendous love that supports us every moment. The tremendous loving intelligence that's guiding every cell in our being and all the systems that make this life possible. And all of the opportunities that we have every moment to open our eyes and see to see the truth, to learn, and to grow, and to celebrate, to relish every breath and all the beauty around us. To awaken to our purpose for this lifetime. And so the natural, irresistible response to this awareness of how deeply we are loved by the infinite source of all life evokes within us gratitude, appreciation, thanksgiving, we give thanks for the power that we have to transform our awareness, the power that we have to change the channel of our consciousness. Instead of the channel of fear and lack and mistrust, we can open our minds and hearts to the channel of gratitude for the beauty that we are, that we see around us, in nature, in each other, and the compassion that we feel to do the best we can to be a force for healing and for helping to rescue the animals of this earth from their oppression, to rescue our own consciousness from delusion. Open now to the sense of gratitude that doesn't even need an object or a reason. Just being and aware. Allowing ourselves to open to the higher wisdom that is always in our heart. That understands there's a far greater reality beyond the visible world. And that we are here, right now, to bring the awareness of kindness and caring open to the inner creativity and insight that we have to bring healing to our world. And so we see now all of the animals of this earth, rising in their awareness, and we see all of the human beings of this world rising in their awareness. Higher and higher, a light that connects us all, an infinite web of light, liberating all of the animals and all of the deluded humans. And we see the factory farms emptying, the slaughterhouses, the stockyards and the laboratories, the zoos and circuses, all emptying. Prisons, all the architecture of violence, no longer necessary. And we see beauty of the spirit of nature and of each and every one of us free. The cows and pigs and chickens and turkeys return to their natural habitat. Whole human family walking the path of returning home to a simpler, more conscious way of living on this earth, rooted in loving kindness and caring. For each other and for all beings, knowing that we can easily feed everyone. When we understand our true nature, with no violence, we plant our seeds, giving thanks, knowing that this is the truth that is manifesting for sure, absolutely, reflecting the truth, the inner spirit of harmony and peace that abides within all of us. Gratitude to all living beings radiating gratitude to those who have helped us in our life, to our mothers and fathers and relatives, giving thanks for all our relations, our friends and colleagues, giving thanks even now for those who have been difficult in our life, or who maybe right now are difficult. Giving thanks knowing that they are also fulfilling a purpose. Grateful also for all of our experiences in the past, even difficult ones, knowing that they all brought us to this moment right now, that we have planted countless seeds in countless lifetimes. So here we are, and we are free. And what we are is not an object, a thing. That was born and will die. What we are is the eternal life and awareness. Beyond form and name. That's true of all beings. Allowing our minds now to quiet. So we hold our individuality for this lifetime, this being that we are, this name, this physical body that we tend to identify with. The being, we hold with love and gratitude and look beyond to the source. The source that unites all of us. So now we just open our hearts and send love to all living beings. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free. May all beings be at peace. May all beings have all the causes of happiness. All beings abide in joy. May all beings have radiant health. May all beings awaken to their true nature. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Part of the awakening of humanity, for the benefit of all beings. May all beings benefit from our efforts together, using every moment of this precious human life in service to the highest good. We see the whole earth now, bathed in the light of peace. We see the human, a homo ahimsa, as Judy Carman says, our true nature. We see the heart of every human being, bright and filled with gratitude and compassion, in the heart of every living being, shining. Thank you. Okay, thank you everyone for joining together in our meditation time. I just noticed just a second that there was a little difficulty perhaps hearing. Just so you're aware, you know, I'm playing the piano. So we have one mic on the piano coming through. I think it's the left channel. And then the voice is coming through the right channel. So there are two different channels. One is the piano and one is the voice. So it's not both coming through both. One is in one and one is in the other. So hopefully that's okay. And so try to listen with both channels. If you can, but now it doesn't matter because I'm not playing the piano. So now it's just the one, I think. Wow. All right. So, gratitude. I know. You know, one of the things I think that's important to remember, and I've been thinking about this past few weeks, and I wrote about it a little bit in the new book that's just coming out, is that we tend to focus on our relationships with human beings and not so much our relationships with everything else. And so we live our lives very, very much sort of doing things with objects, like we're washing the dishes and we're, you know, wiping them and putting them away, and then we're sweeping the floor, and then we're going to the computer and doing just different things, working with everything, these objects, and we treat them like objects. And so I think one of the things that I found, I remember when I lived in a meditation center way back when I was only 22 or something, and the teacher there said, you will always be loved in your life if you're loving with your actions, even to the dish towel when you wash the dishes. You know, that basic idea that, you know, we tend to think that we want to be loved by people, and so we try to find out ways that we can be loved and do things to create harmonious relationships, which is important. The thing that I think we tend to forget is that every moment of our life we're relating in some way. And as our consciousness sort of expands and we start to see that everything is alive, actually, even so-called objects are alive in a very real sense. They're manifestations of the same whatever it is that vivifies all of us. And so to have respect for everything, it's a lot like when the water comes out of the tap and we don't take more than we need, right? Because we respect the water, and then we can love the water even as we drink the water. And as we, if we have to pour a little bit out for some reason, we can do it. So I think this kind of getting back to the kitchen sink level of living is a really important key to creating a foundation in our life where we can be more effective as advocates for animals also, because we have this tendency, I see it in our movement all the time, to think that, well, you know, there's too many animals suffering. It's terrible. You know, animals are suffering horribly, and we want to stop the suffering of these animals. And so we go out and we try to convince people that they should stop doing that, right? They should be kind of like us, and they should basically change their behavior because we want them to. And this creates tension, right? We're always trying to change people all the time. We don't like what they're doing, and we're criticizing them and subconsciously. And, of course, the underlying mentality when we're seeing the bad things other people are doing is that we're better. Like we're not doing that. We're better. You know. So there's this underlying idea of we're better and they're worse. And so I think that really, it's hard to avoid, but it tends to make our efforts less effective because people feel that. We're all very telepathic and people pick up on it. They feel it. They know on some level. And so if we can kind of switch that whole thing, instead of trying to change other people and thinking that our world will be better when we can do that, to understanding that the world in many ways is a manifestation of our consciousness. And so the more we can just radiate love and appreciation to what we see, that's good in a sense, and, you know, to bless what we see as positive. And then the negative things we see, which we're aware of, to also bless, to send love to them, to the perpetrators, to everyone, and hold this sense of this is what's happening, this is the appearance right now, but we're holding it in love, to hold it in love, you know, in awareness of we're aware of it and we hold it in love. That's the only way I can say it, like, because this isn't a movement that's going to grow by marketing. I don't think it's really it grows as we spiritually awaken to the deeper reality that we are, and I think that's humanity's problem. Humanity's problem at the deepest level is we're all materialists. We all think that this is all there is, and so we use animals like they're matter. We use each other like we're just matter, and we're born into it. You know, it's not our fault. We're just born into that programming because of animal agriculture, 10,000 years of animal agriculture of materialism. It just gets us. As soon as we're born, our parents look at us that way. Everybody, our teachers, even at the church, they do the same thing. Everywhere, the doctor, they look at us like we're just a biochemical machine. So we're, I think, those of us who have awakened out of eating animal foods and have become vegan, and then if we awaken beyond that to realize it's not just about marketing veganism, it's really much deeper. It's about transforming ourselves so that we're embodying what this is all about. Then it comes to, well, how do we live our life? And that's what I'm saying, is to live our life so that, as much as possible, so that every thought, word, and deed is in alignment with what veganism is, which is loving kindness for all beings. And beings are human beings, animals, trees, and I would say even kitchen towels. You know, like, the whole idea is to try to live our life mindfully, as mindfully as possible, so that we're not, you know, throwing things. I see it all the time, like quickly throw the dish rag over there and then go out and try to save the world, you know. We have this tendency. and we don't realize that we are it. You know, our consciousness is all we have. We don't have anything more. You know, we use our consciousness to try to make the world better. But if our consciousness is at a kind of frazzled or low vibrational frequency, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be spreading that. So the ball is really in our court all the time. It isn't other people. Other people are wounded. I mean, for sure, we've got all kinds of, you know, stuff happening where people unconsciously buy things and unconsciously do things to each other, and we're affected by that, right? I mean, we are affected. And yet the whole problem is if we want to impose what we think is a better way of doing things on them, we become a form of tyranny ourselves, telling them how they have to do it. So I think the vegan movement, it's really about maturing to the point more and more where we understand that ultimately the quality of our consciousness is our responsibility, and we can help everyone the most when we raise that up to a level where we see that we're all interconnected. And I think the nitty-gritty of every day is very important in doing that. The nitty-gritty of how we relate to the person at the, you know, maybe, you know, all the people, like your checkout, people at the checkout stand, are we really smiling and being loving with them, and so forth. And, you know, we can plant our seeds, we can wear our vegan t-shirt, you know, and say whatever, and, you know, do the best we can to plant the seeds. I think that's great. You know, we do that all the time. make comments and do things, but always out of a sense of not trying to change people, but just planting the seed of loving kindness for them. And I think as we do that, we have less of a feeling of being fighting against a toxic culture, because so many people in the vegan movement burn out. You know, after a while, they burn out. It's like, oh man, people don't change, and they get to be misanthropes, right? We start to hate humanity. I wish we were less people, and the whole earth was taken over by animals again, and we wouldn't have all these problems. That kind of thing. So I think, again, it's really important to cultivate a sense of love for the wounded people, and not just wounded, but poisoned. You know, people are poisoned. We have to understand that there, people have been deliberately poisoned. As soon as we're born, as little beings, we're poisoned. I mean, nowadays, when I was a kid, it wasn't that bad, but now, I mean, there's something like 40 or 50 chemical vaccinations that are injected into little infants, and then we're getting water that's been fluoridated. And fluoride, it's well known. It just it dulls our sensibilities. It calcifies the pineal gland, which is our spiritual connection with our intuition. You know, people have been poisoned, not just wounded, but poisoned by food and water. There's 80,000 poisons that have been unleashed. You know, chemicals, basically, into the air and the water and soil and food. And so that's a thing. So people are wounded by that, poisoned by that. That's why it's very important for us, I think, to do the best we can to keep our water and air and food clean, and also what we're reading, what we're aware of. You know, it's really, there's an old saying at the farm when I was there in 1975, to guard your gourd. You probably heard that saying. You know, guard our mind and not let in toxic conversations or other things. Mainstream news, for the most part, is really horrible. And all those things, I think, you know, purify our awareness and our body, and then we're at least in a position where we're clear and strong and less poisoned. And the more we can clean out these poisons, and they're not just physical poisons, a lot of them are emotional. You know, we have anger maybe against people or against our parents or who knows what. So again, gratitude. Gratitude is one of the greatest nullifiers of these poisons, the emotional poisons. If we're grateful, we can't be afraid, right? How can I be afraid if I'm grateful? How can I be angry if I'm grateful? How can I be jealous if I'm grateful? How can I be proud if I'm grateful? I mean, this gratitude is really a beautiful thing. And it's the neat thing is it doesn't cost anything. You know, it's totally free. We can just cultivate that sense. We can wake up with that sense. We can go to bed with that sense of being grateful for another day when we go to bed, and bring that into our daily lives. So I just want to emphasize that. I remember when I was studying Thoreau, I was born and raised in Concord, Massachusetts, and I didn't really know much about Thoreau until I went away to college, and I started actually reading Walden. And I love it. In there somewhere in Walden, Thoreau writes that he says something like, there's no greater discovery than the realization that by our own efforts, we can raise our own consciousness. You know, I'm like, woohoo! You know, by our own efforts, we can raise and purify and uplift and elevate our consciousness. We can do that. I mean, there's nothing stopping us. We might say, oh, but I can't do that. I was terribly wounded and all these horrible. The thing is, we have to realize what we are is magnificent and tremendously powerful, and not allow ourselves to be categorized the way we categorize animals, right? Not to shrink them down into just livestock. And not let this culture tries to do that to us. So there's something within all of us that yearns to be free and to awaken and to bless the world in our unique way and to live our purpose and to unfold that in the short time we're here on this earth. It's only a few years, really. And that's the star that's always shining, the star that can guide us. You know, like the wise men followed the star to the birth of the Christ, right? The Christ is our true nature. And we're called to do the same thing, right? To follow, keep following the inner star. No one else can do that. No one can tell us what our star is. No one else can say, well, you should do this, or you should... They don't know. No one knows what anyone's mission is in life. We all have our unique purpose and our unique challenges, and that's up for us to figure out. But the beautiful thing is we can come together like this and have a shared foundation of liberation. I like that word rescuing. You know, rescuing, not just rescuing animals, but rescuing our own mind from colonization that we've all gone through, where we've had our mind just basically programmed by a lot of toxic attitudes, by loving people from the time we're little kids, that we can do that. We have the power to do that. All right, so I wanted to say those things. Now, does anyone, please feel free if you have any thoughts or questions or comments about anything. We have time together. We only have an hour. We're done in about 12 minutes, but we have another few minutes. If you'd like to say something or ask a question or make a comment, not so much, really heavy-duty political stuff. We're trying to keep this a little bit more on the spiritual level. And I'm happy to respond, or each other can respond as well. And if there isn't anything coming up, that's fine. I have a few other things that I'm happy to share. And I also, I still have this book here. We used to read a section of that all the time, and it's kind of neat to do that. It's the Dhammapada by the Buddha. And I haven't done it in, probably almost a year. Seems like quite a long time. Those ideas, and then I think that basic idea also, I think, really of realizing that health is a very deep subject. You know, it's not just our physical health. To really see the many layers as we go through our life, to actually be a radiant beacon of health. What does that mean? You know, it means being aware of our food and our exercise and what we're drinking and how we're living and our relationships and all of those things. But even deeper, like how we relate to the earth, how we relate to the creative impulse within us. This is the thing. You know, this idea of health. I think in our society we are so programmed to this very narrow definition or idea of health. Like, you'll be healthy if you take these drugs. I mean, nothing could be further from the truth. You know, health is really this sort of very mystical thing, because it comes, I think, ultimately from spirituality, from understanding that we are not this body, actually. And when we understand that it more than just the intellectual level, when we really understand it at a deeper level, that what we are is not just energy but consciousness, and that is eternal, we have tremendous capacities for radiant health, even if we have difficulties where we're living and whatever it is. But that power, that awareness, the awareness of our true nature, I think is one of the most important factors in being healthy, because creativity is a spiritual manifestation. And one of the things I've noticed, and some of you may have noticed this also, that in our society, the arts, like music and art, over the last few decades especially, have gotten much more ugly. Music, really, I'm amazed. When I listen to music now, most popular music, it's really downright ugly, in the sense it's disharmonious. It's got a lot of violent lyrics many times. I mean, and then modern art, so-called, it's very jagged and disharmonious. The new forms of dance, people are kind of like, you know, going like they're robots or something, you know. I mean, everything, it's like a celebration of ugliness, this so-called art. And I really think, again, that is intentional. I know, like, when I would, and Madeline's the same way, but, you know, when I would give, when I give concerts, and one of the things that we did a lot of was individual sessions of music and art portraits, you know, where I would sit, and we did, you know, thousands of these, actually. I would sit for half an hour with someone and tune into their spirit and then play the piano for half an hour and just let their spirit pull the music out of me. When we lived in the RV and we traveled, we would do those every single Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, every weekend. We would give a workshop, we'd give a concert at a Unity church, give a Sunday morning talk, and then we would do private sessions of individual music and art portraits for healing. And we would, people sign up. We would do them like one after the other for a whole day. And so we did hundreds, you know, we'd thousands. And so I would just look at a being, and the person would say, oh, you know, I don't think my music's going to be very nice because I'm really under stress right now, and I'm unhappy, and I'm sick. And I would say, don't worry, you know, I'm not looking at the level of you being stressed at all. I'm looking at the being. And the being that you are is where the music comes from, in the art. Madeline would do a painting. And so then I just start playing, and I could feel it. It was like the being of the person would start to pull the music out of me, and I'd follow wherever it goes, and we'd make a digital recording, and they get a CD afterwards. And at the end, almost, I'd say 95% of the time, they're in tears, you know, and they're just so, you know, melted by the whole thing, because it's like something else takes over. But the underlying core of the whole thing is the intention. You know, the intention is to bring the truth, to bring beauty, to connect us with our true nature, to uplift us to our true being. And that should always be the intention in our life, that we're here, that our art, that our music, that our gestures, that our words, everything is to reveal the truth and to uplift and to see the best in others. And so I think that's the natural thing. What I think our true nature is drawn to that. But again, we are living in a culture where right now it's the opposite. I mean, there's tremendous forces that are trying to lower our vibration, to turn us into livestock. And we can see that happening. It's okay to see it. We don't have to be afraid, right? Just be aware. And the architecture, you know, I mean, this architecture, the architecture of blob boxes that we're all running around in and looking into screens and having violent images, sexual perversion, all this stuff and sort of meaningless, absurd art, this is all planned because, you know, the saying is that if you create art and music that is ugly, then the soul becomes ugly. Really, I mean, not the soul, not the true nature, but the being. We start to resonate with that. So, I really think it's important for all of us to understand that, but to do what we can to create beauty. To me, there's nothing more beautiful than vegan living, right? Vegan living is the essence of beauty. There's nothing more beautiful than going into a garden like us. We go into our food forest. We have 75 fruit and nut trees, and their fruits are coming out, and you know, there's this whole web of life, and it starts in the soil and the sun and the moon and the rain and the stars and the wind and all the different forces and the mushroom underneath the fungal networks and all this stuff. It's like this incredible intelligence, and it's a beautiful thing. You know, we plant these seeds, and it comes out, and food. You know, it's beautiful. It's really beauty. And of course, the opposite of that is a slaughterhouse or a stockyard or any of these places where it's just misery and ugliness and violence. And that's what we're eating. So the whole idea is that, you know, it's understandable that we have art and music that reflect the food, which is ugly. But we are here to create beauty. We're here to celebrate beauty. We're here to discover the beauty of our true nature and to see the beauty in others, because that is the truth. Remember the poem by Keats, that the Ode to a Grecian Urn? It's a famous poem. You should read it. It's very short, but the last two lines are, "In how does it go? And truth is beauty, and beauty truth. That is all we know, and all you need to know." You know, and I think when we can understand what that's really pointing to, the beauty of life and of our true nature, then we're connecting with the truth of our being and what is. And it's the same thing when you look at animal agriculture and the way corporations and financial institutions and governments are operating. The corollary to that really would be, and ugliness is deception, and deception is ugliness. I mean, you can see that. And we're getting sort of immersed in that. But the whole idea with veganism is satya, right? Satyagraha, truth power. Truth power is really the power of beauty. And the art, using the arts for healing. And the arts can be everything. It's how we move through our day, how we dance, how we sing, how we relate, how we, whatever we do, you know, cooking, making, like when Madeline does her, I get to sit down every day, you know, 2 or 3 times a day to the meals that she prepares, and she does it every single time. They're beautiful. They don't just taste good, but she creates them as a work of art with colors and textures and display. You know, it's just something she loves to do, because the whole idea is creating beauty, because we are that. We are beauty. That's what we are. So why would we create ugliness? I mean, that's like, we are truth. Why would we lie, right? Why would we deceive? We can't deceive anyone anyway, because ultimately, there's only one of us. So who are you going to fool? You know, so I think I'm getting close to the end here. Anyway, but that idea, I think, of understanding health from the point of view, from this big point of view connecting as deeply as we can with the truth of what's actually happening. And the thing is, I guess this is the thing. The thing is that sometimes, in the beginning, our search for truth unfolds a lot of ugliness that we didn't even know was there. That's the darn thing. I mean, really. You know, I mean, like most people think, oh yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, I'm just eating a burger. That's nothing wrong with that. And then we start to go on a quest for the truth, and we uncover this horrible ugliness of what they're really doing to these animals. And a lot of people say, oh, I'm not going to go there. I want to just enjoy. I want to just stick with the beauty. But that's the deception beauty. So in many ways, we are called to go through a lot of ugliness to come out on the other side and see the real beauty, actually, of our true nature, and to know and to stand for justice, because that's a form of beauty, and kindness and compassion and rescuing beings. And that's going on right now. I'm not just to animals, but to human beings. I mean, this whole thing with child trafficking, and I talked about it on the third Thursday, and all these things that have been, they've been happening a long time, but it's now the light of truth is exposing it. And that's like the sunshine, you know, the sunshine really disperses delusion and heals deception, because that's really that's the most cleansing, beautiful thing is sunshine. I read this thing today, in fact I put it into the book, I sent off the final version, of course it may not be the final, but to the publisher this morning, and I sent off the final the night before, but then I said, oh, wait, I got one more change I want to make. And I added this idea of the sun, because I think the sun, you know, it's so funny. I'll just close with this idea. During the pandemic, how they spent literally like several $1 trillion, our government did, we did, I mean, it's our money, and not $1 was spent on what we know is the foundation of health, which is exercise, sunshine, fresh air, healthy relationships, healthy, good nutrition, right? They didn't do anything to help that, right? Everything they did was against that. We shut down churches. We shut down gyms. We said, sure, go ahead and keep all the bars open. Shut down the restaurants. Don't go outside. You know, stay afraid. Be stressed. Be afraid. And so the whole idea is that underlying health is sunshine. Now, sunshine is one of the great things. What is sunshine? We're taught to be kind of afraid of the sun. I mean, that's nuts. The sun is giving us not only light, but wisdom and information. And we should really spend time in the sun every day. The sun, and so anyway, I put in, because you know, we know this, that sun is the only way, really, we make vitamin D. Vitamin D is essential for healthy, it's healthy for the skin, but vitamin D is for our immune system, for healthy bones. It's great for your eyes. If you don't, sun is, our eyes are taking in light. If you want to have healthy vision, the best thing, I never wear sunglasses. I'm not going to block the sun. Forget it. And I haven't worn sunscreen in like 50 years. You get a callus. You get dark enough skin, you don't have to worry about it. You just be aware. I'm not telling people not to do that, but these darn sunscreens are so toxic. So, the whole idea is to open up to the sun, what the sun represents, the light, but also it's really healing. The sun boosts the production of white blood cells, which are essential to our immune system. So they tell people don't go into the sun. all these things. It also boosts the production of serotonin, which is called the happy hormone. It makes us feel good, and it combats stress. So getting into the sun, that naturally makes us feel more happy. Remember the song by the Beatles, "Here Comes the Sun"? Didn't you feel great listening to that? It's true. On a cloudy day when the sun comes, that's amazing. That's such an archetypal power. It's good for everything. It's good on so many levels. And we don't realize it. We live in a society where we're afraid of the sun, we're afraid of the air, we're afraid of the water, we're afraid of nature, all these things, afraid of animals, afraid of insects, afraid of germs, afraid of bacteria. It's all an illusion. We are in a benevolent universe, and it's time for us to realize that and to open up to what health really is and be creative and spread the word and not just keep it to ourselves. Tell your friends, and it's great. All right, so Madeline is reminding me that it's a little bit past the time here, so I never did get to read from the book. Maybe next month we'll read from Dhammapada, The Wisdom of the Buddha. And I want to thank all of you for your kind attention and for your presence on our call. And we always like to close by unmuting. So let's everybody unmute, if you don't mind, and say our prayer. The Circle of Compassion is our wonderful prayer that we say every day at noon. You're all invited to say it at noon. The prayer for the Circle of Compassion. We all know what it is. So let's go ahead and say it together. Here we go. Compassion encircles the earth.
All beings, everywhere.
A little bit hard, everybody. Okay, again.
Compassion encircles the earth. All beings, everywhere.
Yay! One more time for all beings, with gusto. Compassion, all beings, everywhere. We love you. I look forward to seeing you on the third Thursday.
Thank you all.
Look forward to multiply the message.
All
right. Much love. Thank you, everyone.
Things be happy and free from suffering.
Yay!
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Bless you.